Hey everyone, and welcome to the My Testimony Podcast. I'm Crystal Bryant, your host, and I am so blessed to be able to share the testimonies of Jesus in my life and in others' lives. I hope you enjoy hearing what the Lord has done in our lives. Welcome back, everyone, to the 11th episode of the My Testimony Podcast. I am so grateful to be welcoming Jennifer Azu to the podcast. She is the author of The Warrior Within Her book. Welcome to the podcast, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited. Can you please share a little about your book and your testimony of Christ in your life and what the Lord is doing in your ministry?
Well, to share a little about my book, I kind of need to give a little bit of a background. I was raised in the church. I was raised in a loving Christian home, and I attended church all my life, but I didn't really have a personal relationship until I was about 16. I was very grateful that my parents took me on missions trips, and I knew that I was called to be a missionary. And at 19, I moved over to Romania and was working with the kids on the street. I didn't even know about trafficking at that time. I had a real eye-opening experience when I found young children as young as 9 and 13 being trafficked, and my heart just broke. We didn't have any training. There was about 10 of us. We were working in a rescue center doing the best we could, but unfortunately we didn't get to save very many. A lot of them died from drug overdose or starvation, cold, and it was just heartbreaking. And the Lord's always kept that on my heart. Then I left the country, got married, had a child, ended up divorced and a single mom. And I just kind of put all of those things on the back burner until a couple years ago when the Lord gave me a dream in December of 2020. And it was a ranch where it was full restoration for survivors of human trafficking, that we would help them with education, with counseling, with whatever they needed so that they can have full restoration, of course, you know, just ministering to them. And it would be a body, mind, and soul, just helping them through recovery. And I didn't know at the time if this was meant to be me helping somebody. So I started looking around, and there weren't any ranches that I could find. And nobody seemed to know. I checked with organizations. And so I was asking God what I'm supposed to do. And I just didn't really receive an answer. So I kept praying about it. But in August of 2022, I was just sitting on my couch and thinking, and the Lord just downloaded this story into my mind. And I was, wow, that's a beautiful story. I would love to read that. And I felt the Lord tell me, okay, so write it. Some people might immediately jump up and just do what they're supposed to do, but I have a different relationship with God. So, you know, my first reaction was to laugh because I didn't know what was going on here. I thought my imagination was running wild, and God was pretty serious. You know, my next step was to try to remind God that I'm a reader, not a writer. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. This would work so much better for someone that knows what they're doing. They could write this beautiful story. But when that didn't work, I tried to remind God of times I tried to write. I tried everything, and God was like, no, you need to write this. So I started writing it, and a month later I had the book written. And a month after that, I had a publisher that approved me. And within a year from there, my book was published. So it's kind of an unusual story, but it seems like ever since the Lord opened those doors, people have been coming out of the woodworks. Like, different people that hear about it, they're like, you need to talk to this person, or we found a publisher for you, we found an editor for you, we found this organization. Then people are coming up to me, oh, I had the same dream to, you know, have a ranch. And the Lord's been showing me for a while now, for about 4 years now, that he's going to open up those floodgates, and he's coming back very soon. He's going to give everyone an opportunity to know him. And we have millions. I mean, if you look online, there's an estimated 30 to 40 million people are being trafficked, and there's not enough places for them to go to. And if you put all the organizations that are already working on this, I would estimate, and I could be wrong, but it seems like there would probably be a few thousand beds to help people. There's just not enough to go around. And I really believe that God is pulling his people together. He's giving, I've heard other people having the same types of dreams, the same calling, and he's pulling his people together to be there and to be ready to open their arms and open a way for these people to get the help that they need. So I'm thrilled that he's allowing me to be a part of this. And my heart's desire is not just to jump into something. I really want to be the mouth of the Lord and to speak the healing into these people and to be his hands and feet. And it's just, I'm excited and nervous and everything, but I know that the Lord he's about to do something amazing, and I'm honored to be a part of it. The one thing I was praying about to be fully trained and everything else, I have experience working in this field, but we were never trained. We did the best we could, and of course, the Holy Spirit guided us the entire time. But we were never fully trained. So I've been praying recently about having that opportunity so that I could be trained by somebody that has that knowledge. And earlier this year, I received 4 words from the Lord of the Lord's about to open the floodgates. The Lord's about ready to pour out on your ministry. Things are going to change this year. He's going to prepare you and get you ready. And then the following week, I had another word. And just a few days later, I was invited to go to a training to it's to become a mentor of survivors of human trafficking. And what I feel the Lord is calling me to do is not only get trained and be prepared, but we don't need to reinvent the wheel. There's so many organizations out there that are already doing amazing work. And I want to be somebody that is just kind of working with what they already have. You have programs. There's a lot of them that have been forced on drugs and everything else. They may need drug rehab. There's great organizations out there that are already doing that, such as Teen Challenge, and other programs. There's also those that are already doing rescues and, just coming together as God's people and not, you know, trying to silo myself off and, you know, start something fresh. I want to work with God's people to give the best in what people are needing. And the Lord has been putting that scripture on from the first book of Luke 4:18-19. And I'm reading from the Complete Jewish Version. But the Spirit of Adonai is upon me. Therefore, he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the imprisoned and renewed sight for the blind, to release those who have been crushed, to proclaim a year of the favor of Adonai. And what is so amazing about God is this is the calling for all of us. Every single person that has accepted the Lord has called to do this, but he does it in different ways. And some may be the hands and the feet, but some people are the prayer warriors behind the scenes. And you know, doing this podcast to get it out there, God has us all in strategic locations so that his will is done. And
I was just, so my husband and I recently moved, and what you've said just kind of resonates. So we were looking for a new church, and it was one of those things where I looked at my husband and I said, you know, like, I don't know, or I don't want to go where, you know, everything is checklist off, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I want sound doctrine, but I also want to go where we're being called. And he was like, okay. And I was like, you know how some people are the eyeball and some people are the leg and some people are the foot? I was like, if you're an eyeball and I'm a leg, I want to go where they need an eyeball and a leg. Not where they have 50 million eyeballs and legs, you know, like I want to go where we fit and we're needed. And so what you're saying, I mean, with all of that, like we all are doing what God needs us to do in the areas that we're at. So we are being the full body and it's working and doing what it needs to do. And just like God gave you this book, this download of things that you needed to write down and make a book. And then you see like these doors open. And then you hear from like other authors who've been authors for all their life and they never, ever, you know, publish a book. But whenever God's behind something,
absolutely,
it happens, you know? And so it's like this, that's a miracle in itself, that it's all like God told you all the way back in 2020, about this dream. Mm-hmm. And here you are today. So can you tell us a little bit more about like what God did with the book? Like how, what is the impact of that and what you plan to do with that? Like,
well, one, it was a growth for me because I've never tried this before. I had to really trust the Lord, and there was a lot of times I wanted to throw it out, even though I saw that it was God. I knew that it was God. It was just, it was fear that I wasn't going to put the right things into it. And I was allowing the enemy to, you know, bring that fear in. And God was working on me to, no, trust me. I've got this. I have a plan for it. And so it was a real growing time for me. But also I pray that this book gets out there and blesses people. It is written, it is a restoration story of somebody that has gone through horrific things and how God just meets you where you're at. And I hope that this book touches lives and helps them to see what a loving Father that we have. And of course, you know, this, the money received from this is going to help go and build the ranch. And right now I'm trying to finish writing book two and get that one published. And I'm working on two more books after that. So I don't know what God's plan is.
Praise God.
Go, but we're slowly but steady going through it.
And okay, so these books, do they bring awareness to human trafficking?
Yes. Yes, it is about a team that goes and rescues. The majority of them are former military, and there is also a young lady that she has been through a traumatic experience, and the Lord uses gifts that he has given her to go and help rescue survivors of human trafficking. So, but it's also just about the Lord meets each one of them in a way that they recognize him. And I'm really hoping to touch some lives.
Well, and even though this is a story that you're writing, I mean, it probably hits actually really close to home on the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
That's really happening in our country and all over the world, really. And I really like how whenever you were talking about the realities of doing, like, even though God gave you the idea and the dream and opened all these doors, you still had to be obedient. And in that obedience, there's still hard days, you know? Not everything is always perfect, you know? And there's still the struggle. And I like that because I'm a homeschool mom, you know, and God called me to do that. And I love my children and I love being with them all day, but that doesn't mean that there aren't hard moments, you know?
Yeah.
But when God calls you to it, he can get you through it, right? Okay. And so I feel like, but it's also that obedience part, you know, that obedient, like, okay, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but here you go. This is the best of the best that I can do, and I'm going to do it for you. And just hearing that you're going to be taking the proceeds and doing something to even further the kingdom. This isn't just helping a victim. This is helping a soul hear about Christ that is a dead person. And they're going to come alive if they accept that free gift. And that is so powerful. Like, that's furthering the kingdom. That's opening up this area. And, you know, it says, this access to heaven, you know, and it says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And, you know, we always wonder where we're at in the workers. And I'm over here like, I get to see every day these people that have these testimonies, and you're a worker, you know, you're putting your money where your mouth is, you know, you're not just saying that you believe in Christ, but you're doing it, you know, like you're being the hands and feet. And that's so cool. I mean, and you know, in Ephesians, Paul says, I thank my God for you to the Ephesians. And, you know, for the longest time, I was all like, well, it's cool. He thanks God for them. And I never really understood what it truly meant, you know, but it's like their faith and them growing the kingdom. He couldn't be there, right? He couldn't be the one to do the things that they were doing day in, day out, showing their faith through their fruits and their obedience in Christ. And so he was thankful for them.
Yeah.
Because he could only do what, where God put him at, you know? Yes, he was able to do many things, but he didn't stay in Ephesus, you know, he had to go to another place.
Yeah, we can't do it all. We need to come together.
Yeah. So it's like seeing those people, like, I'm not meant to write a book and open a ranch. I'm doing a podcast, but I thank my God for you because you're doing what he's asking you to do, and you're doing it out of faith and trust in God. And that to me, like, that's big, you know, like it just takes little people, you know, like David was a shepherd boy.
Exactly.
And God can move mountains with that, you know, and it's just that little bit of faith. And that's so exciting for me to even see in other people. I was going to ask you, with your background coming from Romania, that had to have made an imprint on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing that kind of devastation. I mean, obviously it has, because your desire is here, you know. Whenever you're 19, seeing those things, I mean, what was going through your mind?
Well, if it's okay, there's one thing I would like to say, and it's just, I feel strongly too. I want to encourage everyone that, I mean, when God calls you to do something, he's going to call you to something that's pushing your boundaries, because he wants you to know that it's him. He wants you to do something that is so far beyond your capability that you have to trust him, but he also gets the glory, because there's no way you could do it on your own. So,
amen.
So I know there's a lot of people out there that feel called to something and they allow fear to hold them back. And that fear is from the enemy. It's a lie. If God's called you to do something, he's going to pull you through. He's going to, you know, he's going to provide a way, and you're going to look back, you know, a few years from later or however long later, and you're going to be like, I can't believe that just happened. But you know it was God. You have no doubt that it was God, and he gets all the glory. And I just want to encourage people to step out in faith. And he's calling his people to do the work that he created them for. So,
yeah.
But with Romania, I mean, I miss Romania every day. Honestly, so since I was 16, I went on a short Romania trip, and God kept giving me dreams. I'm going to be going back there. And I was praying constantly. I knew I was called to go to Romania. That I had no doubt, but the doors just, I mean, first of all, I was still in high school, but, once I graduated, it's like, okay, there was all these closed doors. So I thought, okay, maybe this wasn't it. But the Lord was giving me dreams. He was giving me, you know, that passion for Romania. And one day, somebody showed up at church and invited me to go to Bible college over there. I mean, it was so random and out of the blue. And he's like, I need international students. And then he just disappeared. And so I was working, and one day I just felt, I felt like I was supposed to quit my job. And I even called my mom. I was like, I think I'm supposed to quit my job. And she's like, well, you know, if you don't go, then what are you going to do?
I was like, I don't know, but I just feel so strongly I'm supposed to quit. So I turned in my 2 weeks notice. No joke, that night I got home. By the end of that evening, not only did I receive a call from the pastor, he told me in 2 weeks I was leaving. I had my plane ticket in hand. And all it took was just, I stepped out of faith. And it was scary, but, you know, he wants us to take that step. And then he meets us in that. So.
Wow. Just in you talking, it's like God does that for you with Romania. And it's like, boom, all the doors are open. And then with your book, you know, like truly just listening to God.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know if I answered your question. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, no, that was where your heart was with Romania. And it, whenever you went over there, was that how, were they still, a communist, or was that how many years after?
It was a few years. Communism fell in 1989, and I moved over there in 1996.
Okay, so it was still coming out of that then.
Yes, it was. And that was part of the reason for the large number of kids living on the streets, because they, with Ceausescu, you know, they were forced to have large families, but then he would take the children away, put them in orphanages, send them off to Russia, get them trained as soldiers, and that was the way it was. Well, when communism fell, these kids started leaving these orphanages. Well, unfortunately, predators were just picking up these kids and using them in, you know, these horrific ways. And I, like I said, I never, I was, I guess in, I grew up in a bubble, I guess, because my parents were just, you know, such loving parents. I never experienced any of these things before. I was born in California, so I went down to Boyle Heights and saw, you know, things. But to really see children being abused in that way was just, it broke me. I had experiences with, my first experience was hearing the story of three little sisters, and the oldest sister was 8 years old. And when they were rescued, all three girls had their heads shaved and they were dressing baggy clothes. They thought they were boys, but they found out that they were girls. And the one girl said, well, because she's almost nine, and at nine, she would be forced into prostitution. And the fact that an 8 year old had to think such adult things to protect her and her little sisters, I just can't even imagine. I mean, when I was a little girl at 8 years old, I was playing with dolls and having fun. I never thought these things. And it's just devastating to see the cruelty out there. And I knew that I was in the right place, but it was heartbreaking. I mean, I spent 3 years out there and we saw some heartbreaking things, but the Lord continue just to pull us together and give us peace and give us strength to go out there the next day and the next day and the next day. And we had a thing between the, there was 10 of us, of when we would come back to the rescue center, a lot of times we would just have to come up with a funny story that day. We had to get laughing to find something to help alleviate some of that pain that we were watching out there. And there was a lot of things that we couldn't do. We had another, it wasn't like you could just take the child off the street. There were so many regulations, so many laws. Even if the parents put them on the street and were trafficking themselves, you couldn't just take the child away. There wasn't a CPS or, you know, a child advocacy group. It was, you had to get the parents' permission to rescue their child. Even though they were the ones that were
talking about, they're going to give them up if they're making money off of them.
Yeah. So,
that's so sick.
Some of those kids were raised in the street and that's all they knew. We got one kid into the army, and the moment he finished the army, he was right back in the street. And he said, since I was 6 years old, this is all I ever known. I don't know how to live anything else. So It's heart-wrenching, and but our society keeps trying to make people believe this is happening elsewhere. This is in foreign countries. This is in former communist countries. These are in poor countries. United States is one of the biggest locations for trafficking. But we're the ones that are paying for these children to be abused. We are, you know, it's so sick that, I mean, it's happening in our schools. I mean, family members are trafficking family members. There's school-aged children that are trafficking other school-aged children. It's become an epidemic, and they're trying to keep it quiet and trying to make it look like, oh, it's just people's imagination, or, you know, this that only happens to certain kinds of people. No, it's there, and it's time that people wake up and see it. Because, I mean, if you walk out on the street right now, it's happening right under our noses.
It's just heart-wrenching and sickening to know that there's people that evil. And, you know, it says in the Bible that in the end times, it'll be like the days of Noah. Yeah. And, I mean, that sounds like the days of Noah, where they're just tearing into the house trying to rape those holy people, you know, the people that are in there with Lot. And it's just, you see all of these things, and you see how evil, like, I don't even know, like, I have children, and you saying, like, an 8-year-old, and I'm all like, man, my oldest is 9, and there's no way, like, he's not worried about those things, you know, and the fact that that's what they're worried about. And then you think about, that was the way that it was in the 90s.
Yeah, and now it's much worse.
There's so much more access to things. There's the internet. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like since the internet has, like, grown, sin has just been, like, rampant with it, you know? Like, it's on high speed also.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the fact that God has put this on your heart, it also reminds me that God sees that. And God sees them. And it reminds me in the Bible of Genesis 16:13, when Hagar was cast out, you know, from Abraham. And she says that she was crying and stuff. And she said, then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees, she said. I have also here seen him who sees me. And, you know, I hope that the victims and the people that come out of that can see that it wasn't me, it wasn't you, it wasn't anybody but God. That God sent you, that God put it in your heart, and that through the power and the strength of the Lord, you are able to make this ranch, to have those books, to provide these things. And the people that come alongside you, you know, like the people that you've already talked about, not creating the will or recreating it, but taking what's already there and adding to it. Yeah. So that way there's a greater area that can be helped. Yeah. Of people. And I mean, I think that that's where it starts. You know, it's like one person, one thing, and that can snowball, you know, and just them knowing, like, God sees their pain. Mm-hmm. God sees their hurt.
Yeah.
And that he didn't just see it, but first of all, he sent his son to die so we could have that relationship. And then second of all, he's taking his body and trying to help them.
Yeah.
So it's just to see how God works, like that full circle, like, and he's been planning this for how long? For a while. Like, yeah. I know the dream came in 2020, but you had a heart for it ever since your parents took you on mission trips. And then it was really set in stone. And just seeing how, like, God starts something, and it's just this little seed, and then it grows and it grows. And even sometimes I feel like as a mom, a lot of those dreams and passions get tabled.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, that's our first, I feel like it's our first mission field, being a mother, our children, raising them up, training them up. And then once that mission field is kind of, you know, going,
yeah,
then he calls us to something else. And I think that's so cool to get to see and hear what God is doing. I definitely believe we got to have you back on when, you know, like later down the road, whenever we see the fruition of what God is starting and doing. And I definitely want to be praying for all of those things. And I was going to read, because it just reminded me also in Philippians 4:19, and this will be kind of my last thing.
One thing I want to say about that is it's true what you were saying about our kids are our first mission field. And yes, I was a single mom, but it's interesting. I didn't click with that until just now, because December 2020 was literally just 6 months before my son graduated high school. So it was like I got that dream right at the time that he was finishing up school and preparing to head out on. I never thought about that before. But that's interesting.
Yeah, like I firmly believe our mission field first is, you know, to our family and our children, and that God won't, I mean, yeah, he could use us in the middle, you know, and we can help out at church and do these things or have a little mission, you know, like I had a ministry also helping single mothers, but that's not, at the end of the day, the first mission place is always my children. And, you know, just seeing that in other people and you saying that, I'm all like, man, look at God. Like he was all like, I got you right on time. Investing happening. You're going to have a lot to do.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I mean, it makes me excited for what he's going to do down the road. And, yeah. You know, I always think about, I'm all like, man, what am I going to do whenever all of them are out? But and now I'm all like, well, who knows? Write a book.
There you go.
We got some time. But yeah, the last verse I was going to share, and I just think of your story and just how God has provided, you know, and it says in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I think about this ministry. I think about the ranch. I think about your books and the doors that have opened and the money from that and just all of this stuff that has to take place. And God knows all the details. He knows what you need and he is going to supply all of that because this isn't your plan. This is his plan, right?
Absolutely.
And I love how God is so full circle. He gives you a heart for it. He gives you the time to do the things that he's already called you to, such as motherhood. And then he sparks alive that and he's doing something with that little seed that was planted a long time ago.
Absolutely.
It's so cool. And I did want to say for the last part of this, I loved when I was on the phone with you the other day, you mentioned that you didn't want to do this because of you, that you wanted to be a part of his plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that you want to be that person that can fulfill those things and all because of him. And I think that's so cool. Like you don't want to do your own thing. You want to do his thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's amazing.
Well, easy to in ministry, and I've of course been there before, but in ministry it's easy to start off with good intentions and then your heart gets, I'm not saying it in a bad way, but your heart just gets so overwhelmed that you start to step into it becoming yours. And we start to forget whose plan that really is. And I want to make sure that everything I'm doing
is his plan, his, you know, calling, his, you know, and just to have that discernment of when I'm stepping out of that. I mean, it's a natural thing of, it's not, I don't know how to explain it, but it's not out of, you know, trying to get away with something, but it's sometimes it's just out of compassion. And you like see something, it's like, okay, I got to go do that right now. But God sometimes is like, wait, not yet. I have a different way. I'm going to do it. And my way's better. So if you just relax and sit there for a minute, and it's having that, that peace of knowing that every step is because he's already guided it.
Amen. Yeah, it's so good. I mean, and it's easier to do it whenever you know that the Lord is with you doing it, you know. But I do agree. Sometimes, you know, you have to have that self-check. Mm-hmm. Like, am I doing this because I want to do this? Mm-hmm. Am I doing this because I'm pride? Like, I have pride. Mm-hmm. Where's my heart? You know, that heart check.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good thing. And it's a really good thing to have somebody in your life who can, you know, kind of keep you in that heart check, you know, like, hey, yeah, you went to God about that, you know?
Yeah.
That's a really good friend to have.
That's actually my parents for me. Even when I was writing this book, every time I was like, I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to edit it, or I don't know. And my parents, both of them, they're like, well, have you prayed about it? Because you said that this was God's. So have you asked him? And I was like, yeah, well, kind of, not quite. Besides, like, in passing of help me, no, I haven't sat down. So I was very thankful that they would always just put me back in check of, oh, yeah, okay, I need to go to the one that's given this in the first place. So I'm very thankful for that.
That is awesome. Those are people, you know, keep your parents around. You're like, keep me humble.
Absolutely.
That's so good. And I'm so excited to see what God is going to do with all of this. And I will say, I will have links down in the description for her book and anything else that you need to, you know, go and support this. And also, I might link a few things on just kind of that knowledge of human trafficking and all of that stuff. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and close us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Jennifer's heart, Lord, that it's seeking after you and your will in her life, Lord. I pray that you continue to grow this ministry, to do the things that you want and that your will happens, Lord. And as Jennifer said, that you include her in that plan, Lord. She wants to be the hands and feet for you. And her heart is softened towards the victims of human trafficking, Lord. And I just pray that you can supply all of the needs for this facility to be built and for the right people to be helping, and the people who need access to it, who need to be freed from the bondage of this horrible, horrible sin, Lord, that they would be released from it, from the drugs if they're on it. And Lord, I just pray that human trafficking can be stopped completely, Lord, and that there can be a great awakening, that they can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord. I thank you so much for this ministry and these people who are seeking to bring what was done in darkness to the light, Lord. And I pray for their safety and their provision. And Lord, I just thank you for Jennifer. Thank you for everything that she's doing through you and through your strength, Lord, and your power. And I just pray a hedge of protection around her and her family. And I thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
I hope you all enjoyed our time together today. Be sure to email me in the link below with your testimonies of what the Lord is doing in your life. We love to hear from you. Goodbye.